It's day 9. Well, it is for us. It's day 23 for Kim, I think. 23, 24. Getting there. How is everybody? I'm on the page with the chat, but I can't see the chat. So I'm going to have to refresh, then I can see the chat. Excellent. Hello. Yes, long story. Hey, Mike. Can I give it them the story at the moment? The story is it was 5 seconds ago. Mike is cursing. He's cursing. Oh, what's Jonathan saying amazing about? Let me know. Pete, I have spoken to Pete today. Pete is in the middle of the shift from hell in terms of how long it is. So he started this morning at 7 o'clock. CQ Deb. He started this morning at 7 o'clock. He is still going. He'll be finished at 9:30. Oh, there's Pete. Excellent. Hello, Pete. Now, we had fabulous news. Brace yourselves. Mike managed to get a slot at Asda. This was very important. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook. If you do, you may have seen the picky. If not, I'll post the picky. So has anybody not seen the picky about the dog food on Facebook? Let me get that sent off via Droppler. Oh, now it's all gone funny. Come on, Droppler, right. You can do it. No, don't spoil the punchline. Oh, I can't get this up via Droppler. Come
I need
on.
A drink.
Go and get a drink. There you go. Go
an
and get
alcoholic one.
Yes, you can get whatever you like, Mike. Right. There was a picture that I put on Facebook. Basically, we buy dog food. Obviously, we have a dog. She has tinned and she has dried. Is that the one? No, that's the council meeting one. So I'm having no luck at all here. Literally. Oh, there we go. Right. That looks good. There's what I posted on Facebook. So go have a look at that. Right. So the issue was the dog food, the tin dog food, was £3.50. We can manage £3.50, can't we? It's now gone up. That's for 6 tins. It's now gone up to, I think it was £48.15 for the same 6 tins. Somebody not happy, not amused with that. That is just appalling. So that was my shopping today. That didn't happen. We're just going to give her the steak that's in the freezer. It's disgusting, that. Now, it isn't Amazon. It's a private seller on Amazon because Amazon haven't got any at all. So now we appear to be in some kind of weird state where you can charge what you like. Gold bars are cheaper. Sadly, the dog can't eat gold bars. So that was my shopping today. But as if that wasn't bad enough, Mike had a slot at Asda, but it was ages ago. And we were having to order stuff for like 3-4 weeks in hand. I'm not comfortable with Mike going out at all, and I'm certainly not venturing out. So going to pick stuff up, we'd rather not. We'd rather it was just delivered and be done. Anyway, Mike got this slot. We put some stuff in it, and that's sorted. That'll be here at some point next week. So that's been on order for almost 3 weeks. But we wanted another slot down the line, you know, a week later. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Mike's checking and checking. I checked overnight. I logged in as Mike.
I've been doing it since 5 o'clock this morning.
And Mike has been doing it literally all day. He sits there working on his Windows box, but the Mac is behind it. And every 5 minutes, refresh, just trying to get
the
slot.
Even during delivering training.
Even during his training, he's been refreshing it. And I can see the page updating. It's criminal, I'm telling you. So he jumped for joy. He got a slot. So I said, get the dog food in there. The dog food at Asda is still £3.50. So Paul says, does the dog food come with free delivery? Luckily, Paul, it does. But for that price, I'd want it to come with a free pedigree dog as well. Mike is getting curly. He is getting curly. He does have curly hair and he's not overly fond of it. But sadly, he didn't manage to get it trimmed before lockdown. So we're thinking, has anybody seen Fellaini? Fellaini plays for United. Yes. He used to play for United. He has the Fellaini haircut at the moment. So think of the Hair Bear Bunch. And he'll be like that by the end. Hello, Neil. Hello, Tracy. So he put the dog food in the basket. He has got until 13 minutes to 10 tonight to log out. It holds your slot. It must be for 3 hours, mustn't it? So that was all fine. I'll stick this in, I'll stick that in. Then we had expletives about the price of tissues, which have gone up from about £2 to £3. So a 33% hike in those. No toilet rolls, no rice. So basically anything you want to buy, they haven't got. But he's got a slot, so you can't say fairer than that. Until he decided what he would do. To lock the slot in so nobody else can nick it off him, which seems to be happening. The websites seem to be failing. And I literally said to Mike, you know, they are frontline and they must have surely known they were frontline. And the site seemed to go down if three people try accessing it. When you think what Zoom have put in place, that's shocking. Zoom seems to be running the country at the moment. More on that later. So he decided what he'd do is actually check out. And if he checks out, he can still go back later and change the order, but he's locked in the delivery slot. At which point, the site died. Where are we now with that, Mike?
We've placed the order.
Wait, come and tell them.
We've checked out.
So what we've got is dog food.
Well, I'm not until we get the stuff here. I'm not getting excited.
No, I wouldn't if I were you. Because I mean, this order we placed 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
There were 28 items went out of stock. Now, some of them have since come back in. So it's basically Russian roulette what you'll actually get delivered, isn't it?
Mm.
It's shocking.
Now, I've got a course booked at the delivery slot. So do I tell my boss I have to cancel my training course so that I can take the online shopping?
Well, somebody's going to have to open the door, but then they're probably going to back off. So as long as I've got the dog locked in the kitchen, because she, by then, if she's not got any dog food, she'll be taking chunks out the delivery man.
True.
Oh, long meals on wheels. I'll deal with that.
Right.
I dealt with the virgin man, didn't I?
You did.
Even though I had a mask on and he looked at me like I was completely barking.
That's standard these days.
I know. Well, he said like, oh, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I thought, well, I might be. His wife was a nurse. I'm like, okay, lovely on the front line, fabulous. But no. So he's checked out. We've got it. So Kim's saying that Costco does deliveries. I don't think ours does. I don't think our Costco does deliveries at all. And I am not venturing out to find out. What we're doing at the moment is just making sure we can turn the car over and keep the car going. Not touching petrol pumps. Apparently it's rife on petrol pumps. So I'm not doing that. So that's where we're up to today. It is our first day of official lockdown. You might as well not bother.
You posted me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Where did you think it was going? Getting the evils now.
That breaches my human rights. A bit like the text message.
Yeah. I've got to tell everybody this. Yeah. Nobody has my phone number.
I do.
You do. You do. And Big Kev has my number. Well, not really my number. He has the FaceTime ID. So there's you, your mother, and Nina and Rachel, and that's it. So about four people have my phone number. We all know the saga of my phone number in the bank, don't we? Well, Mike gets a text. He said, I've had that text from the government. So I quite cockily said, I won't have. They've not got my number. I got the text from the government. Do they not believe in GDPR? I never gave them my number. I think they've just, across the board, got everybody's number from all these companies, and we all got it. So I'm assuming everybody else has got some kind of message. What else has Bojo done? Oh, Tracy. Did you see the pictures that I put up? Where did I put them? In Slack. I put some pictures up, Tracy, of today. This was this morning, after last night's please stay home stuff. And there's two photos that I've put in Slack. That was this morning on the underground. Words fail me. It was busier than yesterday. I do not understand it. Hello, Deborah. Fantastic. 6 a.m. in Sydney. Oh, so just at the right time then. I guess 8 o'clock would be better for you. But when I moved the time on Saturday, all hell broke loose. So I'm not doing that again. Jonathan got it as well. I'm glad it wasn't just me then, Jonathan. But I think that's a bit off. But that could just be me. I mean, I guess this is their emergency lockdown nuclear option. So we're all going to get it. Let me read it to people who didn't get it. You didn't have the pleasure of Bojo's text. I did. I was most aggrieved. Right. It comes from UK_gov. And it says, gov.uk coronavirus alert. New rules in force now. You must stay at home. More info and exemptions at gov.uk/coronavirus. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. Will anybody take a blind bit of notice? It could actually be a good strategy because maybe people do if they get a text directly to them. Maybe they do. Who knows? Would you take more notice of it, Jonathan? I know I didn't. I was like, yeah, I've been in lockdown since a week last Sunday and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Never, ever. Right, let's have a look. I wonder how they got all our numbers. I think they must have got them from the network companies. I think that's the only way they could have got mine, definitely. I don't use that with the bank. I don't use that for... I have a Gov account because obviously I pay VAT and I pay tax. So I have a government account, but I don't have my phone number on it. They don't even have an email for me, believe it or not. No, definitely don't believe all of that. Will there be a collective increase in the national IQ after all this? I'd love to think, Pete, that there would on the basis that the people who sadly expire with it are the people who are stupid enough to go out. But I don't think it's going to end up like that, is it? It's going to be the vulnerable. We've got plenty of friends who need carers. We know Helen needs her PAs. And what's going to happen? She's already lost one. I don't think, sadly, it's going to be the idiots that are outside that suffer the most.
What's ScoMo?
Where?
Scott Ho, the Prime Minister of Australia. It's like Bojo.
Bojo, ScoMo. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, it came on last night at 8:30. Now, we'd just finished Marooned yesterday at this point. So Mike's in the other room. He's in my studio where I normally record MacBites, while he records MacBites in here, which is the office. And Bojo came on and I took one look and I thought, oh, my word, he's trying to look prime ministerial. You can always tell. Now, this was actually way before Johnny was even born. Have you ever seen, Jonathan, Yes Minister or Yes Prime Minister? That was spot on accurate. But you were watching it in the early 80s, mid 80s, thinking, oh, sort of, you know, it's funny, but, you know, that would never happen. Basically, it's not as funny as what's going on now. And what's going on now is real. But it was definitely worth watching that. So I knew when he came on, I thought, this is just like Yes Prime Minister. I thought, basically, the gag was in Yes Prime Minister, if you had new radical information to give out, you set the scene of where you were sat with an old traditional desk and bookcases around, dark mahogany, sober tie. If you were trying to pass something old off as new, then you went all high tech and glass and chrome. So if they said, we're going to now listen to Boris Johnson. And I turned around and I thought, it'll be new stuff then. It'll be the lockdown, because he was in front of the old mahogany thing on a little quaint table. Yeah, so that was what he did. So Mike's still in his meeting and they're making plans in their meeting for all the social events that are coming up. And he said lockdown, and I thought, I best let Mike know. But obviously I wasn't in their meeting. What I had done was I had tunneled through with remote desktop, so I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could see all their little faces. So I thought, I'll text it to Mike. So I'm copying out what he's saying and I've gets it in iMessage and I sends it to him, and I'm glancing then at the remote desktop and I can see Mike looking down at his iPad because he was one of the faces. And the next minute, everyone else is quiet. His square's lit up in yellow and he's talking, and I thought, he's passing it on. So I does the second half of the message and then send that through to him. And now half their plans, you said that, didn't you? It was a good job that I had, because half their plans are going to have to change because of that. So, yes, that's what happened last night. But, I mean, there was nothing that we didn't expect. Is it too late? Could it have been done sooner? Should it have been done sooner? That would have been good. But we'll just have to see what's going on, won't we? Will it make a difference? What do you think of that new hospital? Is any country, other country doing that? One of the things that was mentioned today, but not by Bojo, it was the health minister, name of which escapes me. This that been that many of them. The last one caught it, didn't she? This one hasn't. It's not Jeremy Hunt anymore, is it? Pete'll know. They all look the same after a while. He has announced that there is a conference centre called Excel in London. It's huge, huge. In Manchester, we'd probably have the GMEX. I hope you're not that close to that, Jonathan. Not too close to GMEX. And they're turning it into a hospital. So he said we're putting in two wards. So I thought to myself, two wards, drop in a bucket, you know. And then he said, of 2,000 beds each. So this conference centre has been turned into an emergency hospital and it will have 4,000 beds. I have no idea where they're going to get the staff from for that, but wow. So they're fining people, but Seattle won't pay the fine and the government won't go after it. I can't understand anybody at any level not doing their absolute best to protect everybody. I really can't. So there's two in Sydney. That's good. The Australian boat show. I'm loving this. ScoMo. Brilliant. Could have done it as a YouTube premiere. They should have done, Jonathan. They absolutely should have done. Who's our... our opposition. He's not really opposition, is he? What do you call him? I mentioned that earlier, didn't I? Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn. That doesn't really work. Jesco. Jesco doesn't work. in fact, is he still there? Because he was supposed to have stood down. But I've no idea what happened there. I remember episode one being part of the 12 days of iTunes. Oh, what we're talking about now. Was it? Was that? Yes, Prime Minister. I saw one thing, Pete. I don't know if it was the same video you've seen. If you've got the link, put the link in. But I did see somebody who had taken a clip out of a real Yes Minister, and it was something to do with giving bad news. It was hysterical. I bet sales of that have shot up. People are probably streaming that and just think it's never dated that. It's a wonderful series. I've heard of Manly Vale. Or have I, is it Manly I've heard of? Is Manly where Neighbours was something to do with Neighbours?
Yeah.
I know the fictitious place is Erinsborough. But Manly rings a bell. £600 minimum if you take your dog too far from home. We have not got anything in terms of that. You can walk a dog once a day, it says. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. It says you can walk your dog, but you can go out for exercise once a day. It's unclear as to whether you can go out more than once with a dog. I guess you just need to go out as near midnight as possible and swear blind you left the house the day before. It's shocking, this. So we don't know. The fines here start at £30. I mean, for some people, that's like one drink. So they won't mind. But apparently it's going to go up, but we'll have to see how that goes. So how far did you go, Mike? Matt Hancock, that's the fella. Yes.
How far did I go?
With Lola.
Just under 3 kilometres.
3 kilometres, but
that's what I watched.
Yeah, but you went round in a circle. Yeah. So distance-wise from the house, probably less than half a mile. It's half a mile to Mike and Nina's. So less than that. Probably a quarter of a mile from the house. Right.
Yeah, dog food's gone up 30p in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, for crying out loud. The dog food is now... This is the one at Asda. That was £3.50, is now £3.80 in the last 20 minutes. I ordered some potatoes and they went up £4 each.
Bottled water, which is normally 17p for 2 litres, because we get the cheap stuff, is now 43p.
Yeah, we'll be buying champagne in the end to wash the car with. I'm telling you, it'll be cheaper. It's obscene. It is. It must have been Manly Beach I've heard of then. Corbyn's still in situ until the new election. Can't see that going. No, I can't either. I thought that was all done and dusted. I thought they were down to two candidates. One was Long Bailey, wasn't it? And the other guy was the idiot that did half the Brexit stuff. This is how I describe the politicians. The idiot that did X. Can't remember his name. Keir Starmer. That's the fella. There you go. You see, that wasn't bad, was it? I'd be all right with the health ministry if they stopped changing them. Mind you, if they could find one that was any good and then stick with them. Right, so it must have been Manly Beach I've heard of. 5 minutes away. Yeah, must have been that I've heard of. And we had a friend in Perth. Jane used to live in Perth. We've got friends in Tasmania. Os Rose is in Tasmania. And Alistair, of course, is in New Zealand. So we've got friends down there. We have MacBiters over there, all over the continent. Right, shall we get Jonathan in? I'm going to need to do some audio magic here. Have you got all your questions for Jonathan? Now, let's see. I have no idea if this is going to go... I'm thinking now, how on earth am I going to do that? I know, I'll move this and then I can see. I've got everything up that I need to get up to do this wonderful thing. But I need to know if my headphones are on or not. So let's have a go. Ah, apparently they're not. That's excellent. So as long as I can find my headphones, that's a pair of ear defenders. That won't work. You're wondering why I have a pair of ear defenders. You've not heard Mike Train. I must admit, if I hear that nucleus course once more, and I wouldn't mind it. Mike must have delivered that at least 60 times while he's been sat here. Over the not just this.
Luckily, that's what I was delivering this morning whilst refreshing the browser. So I didn't have to concentrate.
Yeah, so it meant that
and if the page had come up, I would have said, excuse me, to my virtual delegates on the training. And said, I've just got to go shopping. Just got to put something in the basket.
I'm loving this. Right, now there's an important question, Pete. What is Nucleus anyway? Nucleus is a content management system that they use at Mike's company for basically what used to be called an intranet. So as stories from various departments and externally, because obviously they're a chemical company, so everybody's still working, they're making the drugs that you're doling out, basically. It goes on this site called Nucleus, but it's like every content management system. It's got its limitations, hasn't it? So as soon as Mike sort of got through the basic introduction, he'll hear, can it do X? Can it do Y? Can it do Z? And basically, no, it can't. So he doesn't like training it. And I've heard it enough times. It's too much. No, you don't want to be using Nucleus, Pete. Absolutely not. Right. OK, so I think I'm right here. So where's Jonathan? Now I've realised where I got that message from Simon. I was looking on Facebook for that. Is Simon with us tonight? If not, I'll get back to him on that message. Right. Give me a shout when you're... Right, Jonathan, ready when you are. Ready when you are, Jonathan. And if you come through, you're going to be straight live. So we'll do this very elegantly, won't we? Just like we did last time. I should be able to hear you. Should be. So you ring in now. So what we're going to do, Jonathan's specialist subject is Judaism. We did have Carl, and Carl said... Hey, hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Elaine. How are you?
I'm good. Perfect, that was. Straight in. They're hearing you. Fabulous.
Just like last time then, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Exactly the same as last time.
Flawless.
So I was just saying that your specialist subject is Judaism. Carl's specialist subject is old computers, which I'm quite impressed with that. So we're trying to get Carl in at some point with that. What's your specialist subject, Mike?
Nucleus
training. No, we don't want that. You'll have to find something else. So if you've got a question for Jonathan, put it in the chat and he's going to tell us all about it.
Fingers crossed anyway.
Yes. Where are you going to start, Jonathan?
So I'll give you a bit of an overview as to pass over a bit of Judaism as well. So Passover generally coincides similar time to Easter. But unlike the Christian or typical calendar, we don't base our months of the Earth revolving around the sun. We base it on the moon revolving around the Earth. Hence, the Jewish holidays throughout the time of the year generally shift. Hanukkah, which is 8 days and around Christmas time, can either be fall over Christmas, or it can be before by a good few weeks, or after by a good few weeks. And it's the same with Pesach or Passover. And the reason why it's called Passover, I think it was Tracy that gave the answer to that. So well done to Tracy. The story of Passover was that Jewish people were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt many, many years ago. It wasn't like 100 years ago. I think we're at around about 5,700 in the Jewish calendar. So early doors in the Jewish calendar, we became slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And the story of Passover is how God took us out of Egypt and made us free people. And there were 10 plagues. Don't ask me what the 10 plagues were, because I'll have to scrabble around on LinkedIn to try and find them. But one was locusts, surely. One was locusts. The first one was, in fact, if I do a quick
It was fire
search,
and water, surely.
Yeah.
There's three. We've got this thing.
Egypt. Let's have a quick look. Let's have a look. So the first one was blood. And that's when the water turned to blood for all of the Egyptians. But God allowed it so that if a Jewish person sold the water to Egyptians, it stayed as water. So they made quite a bit of money from it. Frogs, pretty much what it sounded like. Frogs appearing everywhere. Number three was lice. So it made them very itchy. Number four... says flies. Flies. I don't remember that one. Five was death of all of their animals. Six was boils. Seven was hail. Eight was locusts, which ate all of their crops. Nine was darkness, and apparently it was so thick that they couldn't move. And 10 was death of the firstborn. And the way that God knew whether it was a Jewish family was that they put the blood of a ram on one of their doorposts, on their right doorpost, about a third of the way down, and God passed over those Jewish houses in order to give them a miss. Now, in Jewish faith, there's a fast, and it's actually the day before Passover falls, and it's called the Fast of the Firstborn. And all of those who are male and who are born of natural birth are supposed to fast for that day. Now, I was born by cesarean section, so it doesn't apply to me.
How cool.
I know.
I didn't know that.
No, and that takes place to kind of have a mark of respect for that. Also, if you go to a Jewish person's house, on all of the doors, except for rooms that are unclean, so like the bathroom or the utility room or the toilet, there's what's called a mezuzah. It's a little box which has got one of the holiest prayers on, called the Shema. And that sits about a third of the way down, and it points going inside the room. And that's to symbolize where the blood was. And it's supposed to be a mark of protection. So I'll send a picture if someone reminds me to send a picture of the ones that I've got on my flat. I'll send those round. But Passover lasts 8 days, and we celebrate from evening to evening. So we have the first night of Passover is the 8th. So it starts on the 8th of the evening. So it comes in when there are three stars in the sky, or when you check the Jewish calendar, whichever's easier. And so it comes in Leeds at 38 minutes past 7. And that's when we start, and we have a big meal. We say a lot of prayers. We tell the story in a mixture of English and Hebrew. We have a big meal. We won't necessarily be doing that this year. And we do that twice. We do that twice in the UK. In fact, we do it twice everywhere outside of Israel. In Israel, they only have one Seder, and they only have 7 days of Pesach. I can't quite remember why. I think it's because they can calculate the time a little bit better in Israel. They know when things happened, whereas outside of Israel, they're not necessarily too sure. So, Tracy, jumping into the chat. Why the phrase next year in Jerusalem? So the reason why is predominantly because I think it's a more holy place. It's the birthplace of Jewish people. Israel is the home of Jewish people, shall we say. But there's a joke around Jewish wives, in that the reason why they want it to be next year in Jerusalem is because they only have to make one Seder, one of those big meals. In the UK, when I've had Seder, my mum's probably catered for around about 15 to 20 people on a Seder, and she does that twice. And we're not just talking about one course. There's probably about four courses. So the meal which I did for my friends, what seems like a lifetime ago, in there being a starter, then there being soup, then there being mains, then there being dessert. My mum's doing that on an industrial scale, pretty much twice, on both the first night of Seder and then the second night of Seder. And then there's some days throughout the holiday of the 8 days, which are also what we call Yontif, which is kind of like a holy day of when you're not supposed to necessarily do cooking either. So you're supposed to really prepare the food in advance for those as well. So the amount of cooking that happens generally is huge. And like I said on the chat a few days ago, unfortunately, this is the first time since I've been born and since my parents have been married that we've not actually been together for this time of year. Mm-hmm. Every year since I've been born, my grandparents have either come to Leeds, and when they had a bigger house and they were younger, we went to Manchester. When they downsized and they became more senior citizens, they always came to us because it's a lot of work for them. They won't be doing that this year, but the way that we're kind of dealing with it is that with the reason why we're not doing it this year is so that everyone can be around the same table next year, and we can have the Seder together. Yeah. But it's going to be very, very strange.
Ah, you've got questions. Ooh. Got questions now about questions about food.
Oh, so if I miss any questions, will you?
I will keep an eye on them. Could you explain why no milk and meat together? And that's from Kim.
Okay, so this is an interesting one, and it's kind of a rabbi's best guess. So in the Torah, which is our equivalent of the Bible, there's a whole section on kashrut, which is the law of effectively kosher food. And it says what animals are kosher, what animals are not kosher. And so if we take a look at the one that most people know is that pig is not kosher. And the reason why it's not kosher is although it has a split hoof, so if you look at a pig's trotter, you can see it's got a split hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud, so it doesn't have more than one stomach. So if you look at a cow, it does have more than one stomach, and it does have a split hoof. Now, that doesn't mean that all beef is kosher. It has to be killed in a certain way, and it has to have a prayer said over it, and then it has to be looked at and made sure that it's free of disease by a member of the Jewish community who's qualified in that sort of thing.
The best in,
yeah. And then you charge twice the price, and then that makes it kosher. But to go back to the question as to why no meat and milk together, there's a paragraph in the kashrut section which says that a calf should not be cooked in its mother's milk. And Rabbonim, many, many, many years ago, even probably hundreds of years ago, interpreted that as you shouldn't eat meat and milk together. Now, there are different periods of time that you wait. So if I were to have some hard cheese or some milk, I can wait, I think it's around about 30 minutes before you can technically have some meat. But if you were to have some meat, depending on how orthodox you are, you will wait between 3 and 6 hours before having dairy. And it depends how orthodox you are. Now, most people in my family generally wait 3 hours, and we consider that to be the norm unless you're ultra-orthodox. But that's the reason why. It's probably just interpretation. It could mean something completely different, or it could mean absolutely nothing. But that's the way that the rabbis have interpreted it. Also, to go back to kashrut, giraffe, very strange animal, but that also has a split hoof and chews the cud. But I've never eaten giraffe. Giraffe is not sold in the UK. I don't think many people sell giraffe. But if Jewish people did want to eat giraffe, and there's no intention as to why they would, because they're beautiful animals, that is an animal that's classed as kosher.
Never heard that one before either, but that's good to know.
There you go.
Tracy says, what does kosher mean and imply practically?
So if you went to a supermarket, you can, if we look at meat, it will have either some wording on it. If you, in fact, if you look at the back of a Heinz bottle of tomato ketchup, a branded bottle of Heinz tomato ketchup, you might see in the on the back of it something that's got like a little house symbol, and underneath it it'll have the letters KLBD, I think it is, and that stands for Kashrut London Beth Din. So that's the authority that can give that little seal, that heksher, that seal of Kashrut to it. If you go into a kosher butcher, it will have probably something a bit more ornate on it to make it look like a proper seal. And other things are just naturally kosher. So fruit and veg is naturally kosher. If you go to a supermarket, milk is naturally kosher. And other products are naturally kosher by the virtue that they don't have any animal rennet in, any gelatin in, anything that derives from a non-kosher animal or hasn't been treated kosher. They also produce a book. The London Beth Din produces a book that you can have a look at and read, or you can just go online actually now. And it will give you a list of all of the chocolates, the sweets, the foods, baked beans that say whether or not it's kosher. Now, in a practical sense, the Beth Din charges money to have that certification. And some food companies do not pay that. But if you look on the back of something, if it's vegan, it's in my mind, at least, it's kosher. If you're ultra orthodox, you may well still want that certificate of authority from the Beth Din. But if it's vegan, clearly there's no dairy and there's no meat in it. And it's the same with vegetarian. There might be some dairy, but it's still classed. Things like ice cream, sometimes they contain gelatin. Jelly obviously contains gelatin. And a lot of things contain rennet sometimes. So being careful and knowing what to look out for, it's something that I've grown up with and just kind of know. But I would eat in a vegetarian restaurant. I would also eat in a normal restaurant. I just wouldn't eat a meat dish or a fish dish that has non-kosher fish in it. I would just avoid those. So does that answer the question, Tracy? If not, do let me know.
One of the practical things I always think of, when I was living in London, I lived in Finchley.
Mm.
And there's a big Jewish community in Finchley and, the next area over, the name of which escapes me. Is it Muswell Hill?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yes.
The ultra-Orthodox tended to have two fridges, two sinks. Oh, yeah. So yeah, that would be a practical implication if you were on the Orthodox end of the scale, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you were to look in my kitchen, it's slightly different to my mum's kitchen, but because we have to separate meat and milk, we have separate pots, pans, cutlery, plates, spoons for meat, and then we have the same for milk. And then we also have a set which is neither of them, and we call that parv. So my vegan cheesecake, that was all made using parv pots and pans which have come into contact with neither meat nor milk. And one of the interesting things about Passover, you might have seen that we eat these things called matzah, which are basically like giant crackers. And that's because when we left Egypt, we left in such a hurry that the bread couldn't rise. And so for those 8 days, we don't eat anything which has come into contact with bread or any rising ingredients. So what we should do, and the Rabbonim have kind of given us a bit more flexibility this year, what with things going on, is that we should have a completely separate set of ingredients. Some things aren't allowed because you can't have them. So like flour or yeast, you can't have that in any of the products that we make at Passover. And believe it or not, we have yet another set of pots and pans for both meat, milk and parv just for those 8 days. And so in my mum's kitchen in Leeds, she's got not just three sets of pots and pans and plates and cutlery. She's actually got six in her kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a bit crazy, and when people come round who aren't Jewish and they go, why do you need all this cupboard space? And then my mum explains that we've got six pots and pans, sets of pots and pans and plates and cutlery. People don't really understand it. I can understand it being completely crazy, but it's something I've grown up with.
Right, we've got a question from Pete. And Pete says, I'm assuming there are separate branches of Judaism in the same way that there are Catholics and Protestants, etc. What are the big differences in the different branches based on?
So there's two different branches. One's called Ashkenazi and the other one is called Sephardi. Now, I can't quite remember the differences, but it's to do with geographical origin, I think. So when people started to disperse from the Jewish homeland, I can't remember the geographical regions, but Ashkenazi, I think, is... I'd be guessing if I were to say which regions they come from. I'm of the Ashkenazi sect, and the majority of the people in the UK are. In terms of practical differences, Sephardis only keep 7 days, or at least I believe they only keep 7 days Pesach rather than eight. They say different prayers. They have different customs and traditions. So that's the main thing. Which they do at Pesach, they can also eat things like sweet corn and I believe peas. This is the Sephardi branch. Ashkenazi people stay away from those.
Stephen says, Islam regards Jesus as a prophet. Does Judaism have a category for Jesus?
So my understanding is that we'd recognize Jesus as a part of the biblical story. We just don't accept that he was the Son of God.
That reminds me of, you were talking about the different sects, and they actually use the word sect, but I noticed in the UK, at the one end, you've got the ultra Orthodox, and at the other, you have Jews for Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's like a sliding scale, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
The rules applying.
Yeah.
Right, Kim says, we use some porcine product in bone grafting. I've got bionic bone grafting. Would that be allowed?
So the overarching principle of Judaism is to preserve and honour life. That's the overarching principle. So if anything kind of prevents that from happening, it can kind of sit on the back burner. So when the chief rabbi sent his letter out to advise that all of the synagogues were closing and that people weren't to go to shul, he cited that particular paragraph or that particular area of our faith. In Jewish law, prayers said at any time are worthwhile, but if a group of 10 men together, which is called a minyan, are said together, they kind of are uplifted because of the power of people praying together. It's envisaged that it has more poignancy. So there's quite an important belief that men should always pray together in a group of 10 to allow those prayers to be heard more. And so the rabbi, when he closed all of the synagogues or advised that the synagogues would not be available for people to pray, he cited that. So whilst I think if someone were to require medical intervention, they may well ask if other options are available, and they may well prefer those. I think if the medical advice was to use these particular products or there was no option available, the majority, if not all people, would listen to the medical advice.
I can help you out with that one.
Oh, go on.
You may remember that our dog was called Maya.
Oh, yes.
And he was named after a character who was a heart surgeon in Holby City, a TV programme.
Yeah.
And there was an actress from many years ago called Miriam Carlin. She was playing the part of somebody in need of a heart valve replacement. And, of course, she was Jewish. They hadn't actually said in all of the preamble that this valve was coming from a pig. Mm. When she found out, she went completely orbital and said she wasn't having the thing done. Mm. And the character Anton Mayer actually came in and he started quoting from the Torah and quoting the bit that you're talking about, that the preservation of life trumps all, and that it's absolutely fine with that. Mm. And another bit to that story, we have a deacon at our church, and he was a RE teacher, religious education, and he has had, I think it's a quadruple valve replacement. Mm. And he always says, because he speaks Hebrew, fluent Hebrew, he speaks about 9 languages, but he's very proud of his Hebrew.
Mm.
And he always said, you know, I wouldn't be able to have that in my valve replacement. Mike and I just look at each other like, yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So preservation of life is above all.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Tracy says, so kosher is clean or untainted then?
Kind of, yes. So not only do you have kosher and non-kosher, you have something which is called glatt kosher, and that costs even more than kosher meat. It's kind of the next level up. So this is my understanding as to how it operates. With some parts of the animal, if there's like little blemishes and what have you in certain areas, it can still be used for consumption as kosher, as a kosher product. For it to be considered glatt kosher, that animal has to be practically perfect in every single way. So not only does it have to not have blemishes in the areas which are required to not have blemishes, it should effectively be as pure as the driven snow. So that's even more expensive than the normal kosher meat, because it's even rarer to find. It's still pretty common to find. It's not like you would have to go to many shops to find it where there's Jewish communities. It's just not as common because the price for the majority of people, they wouldn't pay it because they're happy with the next level down. It doesn't mean it's any less kosher. It's still kosher. It's just that for an ultra orthodox person, they would probably want to have the glatt kosher food.
Right. Another question. Tracy says, there's non-kosher fish? Question mark.
There is. Wow. So if we take the three main food groups apart from vegetables and fruit, well, actually there's four, any type of insect at all is, as far as I'm aware, is not kosher. So if we were to go abroad and they were to serve scorpion on a stick or something, that's not kosher. Also, you have to make sure that your lettuce and your salad doesn't have any insects in. Because if you were to eat that, obviously that's not considered kosher. So if we were to look at the other three main food groups, animals, we've talked about it has to have a split hoof and chew the cud. In birds, there's a specific list in the Torah, but the general convention is that it's not birds of prey. So things like duck, chicken, they're classed as kosher. But things like eagle isn't classed as kosher. But in terms of fish, shellfish is generally off limits, and a fish has to have fins and scales. The rules of which a fish is killed are different to that of an animal. It just has to be, as far as I'm aware, killed in a humane way. With animals, there's a whole process that needs to be followed after it's been slaughtered. It needs to follow lots of different steps. With fish, it's a bit more relaxed. So I can go into my local Aldi and get a tin of tuna. That's absolutely fine. I couldn't walk into my local Aldi and just get a steak, because that wouldn't it wouldn't have that seal on.
Right. Tracy said... Now, my pronunciation is going here. I think you should take that one. Yeah, it's a comment that she's saying that the Sephardis were of Spanish origin, turned out by a Catholic king in the time of Columbus. That'd be right.
Yeah. I think it may well be that Sephardis come from more Mediterranean and an Asian kind of geographical region. Ashkenazis, I think, are more Europe, or what was Europe? So Germany, UK, and Russia. I think those are the general areas as to where the Sephardis and Ashkenazis came from. But I could be completely wrong on that.
There's quite a difference with geographic bits. We have some people who are Greek Orthodox. So they're Catholic, but they're Greek Orthodox.
Mm.
So you can tell when they come in, they have their heads covered. They are kneeling at the door. They take the host differently. And it's literally just a geographic difference.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Kim says, do you believe in resurrection?
So if the definition of resurrection in that those who have passed away will come back, or
I'm guessing so.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so we believe in something called the Messiah. Is it the Messiah? Yeah, the Messiah. And that all of those who have passed away will come back. And there'll be only good in the world. And that sort of thing. Yeah, I don't know how it would work from a practical sense, if that were to happen.
We could be about to find out.
We could be about to find out. That's something that we believe.
Stephen says, Leviticus 11:22 says locusts can be eaten. It's all very technical stuff. Again, we might be about to find out.
Yeah, yeah. I think...
but they're out of stock at Asda, according to Mike.
Yeah,
this isn't even funny. They would be.
Well, from what I understand, things like locusts and some insects, they're actually quite high in protein.
Talk of them making ant bread and it being better for the planet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought I had this vision of like something that looked like Spotted Dick.
Yeah.
But they had this loaf. It was Warburtons that were making it. And it took something like 26,000 ants to make a loaf.
Don't you remember that ant gin?
And there was we had a gin night and they had ant gin. So they are edible up to a point, but I wouldn't particularly fancy it. I'm sure you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from my understanding, although in the Jewish faith we don't eat a lot of what could be considered offal, the two delicacies that we do eat quite a bit, one more than the other is liver. So that on my meal, which I did, we had a liver pate, and that was a mixture of beef liver and chicken liver. And also we eat, or I haven't eaten it for years, is tongue. So beef tongue, and sliced kind of like pastrami style. I wouldn't eat it whole. But I think that some cuts of meat like that, personally, they're just generally discarded. And it's the same with insects, although it's not kosher, with the amount of people that go hungry, the amount of food that could be used for human consumption, the more the merrier.
Right, have we got any more questions? Do you have any more questions? Used to eat tongue as a kid. My mum loved it. She absolutely loved that.
Can you explain Spotted Dick?
Oh dear, that would be one for me, wouldn't it? It's an English dessert, which is sponge with currants or raisins in it. Mm. It's usually served with custard, which is called something different in America, isn't it? I do believe. But it's just known as Spotted Dick. I don't know the origin of it. Mike will find out instantly on Wikipedia for me. We actually still have that served at some posh do's. Didn't we have that at the MMMF dinner?
It's also called Spotted Dog.
I've never heard it called Spotted Dog, either. I can honestly say. No. Is it a bread? No, it's a dessert. It's like more like a cake. So it's usually cooked in either a circular thing or long trays. We used to have it at school. Did you have it at school, Jonathan?
I did. It was absolutely delicious. I don't know if it's wrapped. I sometimes have it with a bit of strawberry jam as well.
Yep. It can be served like that, and it's quite a nice dessert. Sadly, I haven't been able to eat it for many years because they don't tend to do a gluten-free one, but it is very nice if you can get hold of it. Right, jam roll was a suet jam roll. Oh my word, do you know what we always used to get served? Rice pudding with a tiny bit of jam in the middle.
Oh, well, Aldi's rice pudding, the cheapest one, is absolutely amazing. It's like 17p a tin. The amount of sugar in it is probably your week's worth, but it's amazing.
My mum used to love that because she loved rice pudding. Mm. She would only ever buy Ambrosia. And then she went in Aldi and she decided she would just get one of theirs. And then that was her favourite.
Yeah, it's probably not good for you at all, but it's delicious.
No, but it tastes nice, doesn't it?
Exactly. I found one in the back of the cupboard. That's what I'm saving for before the world does end. That'll be my going out dish.
Ours will probably be dog food if we can find any. We're just working on the principle. We'll have to give her our food if we run out. So yeah. That'll be absolutely fine. You made a point about the food thing. And we're sort of similar. Catholics are not supposed to eat before Mass, which is a bit of a bugger if it's 5:30. But most of us do that in the morning, or at least leave it an hour. So you may have your breakfast, but you would have it, you would finish it. Our Mass is 9:30, so you would finish it by 8:30. Mm. And some people are very, very strict about that. Mm. Again, preservation of life comes over rules. So if you're ill and you need to be eating every half hour or something, that's absolutely fine. Mm. But the funny part of the story is, you know, I always say to Mike, oh, I don't want to eat that early because I never eat that early during the week. But if I don't eat, then by the time I can't eat anything after 8:30 on that basis. And I've then got the hour before Mass, I've got the hour of Mass, I've got the tea and coffee afterwards. And then by the time you get back, you know, it's lunchtime. And by then, I'm starving. Mm. So imagine our surprise, nay, shock, horror. We're sitting there about 5 years ago when we first started going to this church. And I'm sitting there with my stomach rumbling, trying to cover it up with a coat. And the priest went past at 9:10 with a biscuit in his hand, munching away quite happily. I said to Mike, do the rules not apply here? And he watched him and went, clearly not.
Wow.
Now, I think it's one of those rules that has been relaxed over the years. Because another funny story about food. When my mother was getting married, the rule back then, this would have been 1956, the rule back then was you couldn't have meat on a Friday. And she was getting sorted for the party on the Saturday. So Friday, you couldn't eat meat. So she's working away and they're putting out the sandwiches for the following morning. And they were all starving and they'd completely forgotten it was Friday. So this is a good Catholic tale. They'd completely forgotten it was Friday and had a ham sandwich. At some point, somebody remembered it was Friday and they were horrified.
Oh, gosh.
So it was my mum and her three bridesmaids. So they said to my gran, you know, what should we do? And she said, you'll have to go round to the presbytery. So they had to dash round to the priest and ask for forgiveness for it. He said they had to go to confession.
Oh, gosh.
So she spent the night before her wedding in confession pleading for dispensation for eating a ham sandwich. Oh, and God. We all laugh about it now because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now it's absolutely ridiculous.
From my perspective, you know, if I were to eat something that's not kosher and it's done but as an honest mistake, because it does happen, you know, people are human and they make mistakes, as long as it's an honest mistake, you know, it happens, and if I'm going to go to hell as a result of it, so be it. I mean, I'd imagine I'm going to go to hell for other things as well, but you know, if it's done in as an honest mistake, I can't imagine any god punishing someone for an honest human mistake.
Me neither.
I don't see why.
But I still don't eat biscuits at 9:10.
No. When you say eat, does that mean that you can't have like a cup of tea? Or I know you don't drink hot drinks generally, but does that mean you can't have water either?
No, you can have water. It's just it's just really purifying yourself, ready to receive the host is basically it. But I've known people who, I mean, I work on the principle Mass starts at 9:30, but you're not really taking Eucharist until at the earliest 9:55, but usually around 10:00. So actually, you'd probably be all right up to 9:00. But I've seen people who are ultra, you know, I'm not having anything. But I've also seen other people who are like, it'll probably be 9:55, so I'm all right because it's only 9:55. And then they stuff something down themselves. It's just purely supposed to be about purification. Do you do that? Do you keep stuff in your pocket? Munch it on the way in, Mike.
No, at 9:55, I have been known to eat
downstairs. But you have to take something quiet into it. You can't just take like an apple or a packet of crisps in, surely.
No, absolutely not. No, there's stuff that comes out of pockets that gets consumed. I mean, I would say things like you've got to be able to drink because you've got to be able to take medications or whatever. So it's purely practical, isn't it? But I think overriding it is just a willingness to accept, remember your place and do the best that you can.
Yeah.
And I think if you're doing that, you're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
So Kim says, thank you very much. She enjoyed all your explanations.
You're most welcome, guys. Honestly, you know, I'm not the most practicing Jew. I keep an awful lot and I don't keep everything, but everything I know, I'm more than happy to share. I work for a Jewish company in Leeds. I say Jewish company, it's owned by a Jewish gentleman. And there's a lot of Jewish people who work there, but there's also a lot of non-Jewish people who work there of all different faiths and that of none. And I know what it's like to speak to people, and religion is quite a personal subject. And sometimes people don't really want to ask questions for fear of offending people. And I don't think that happens. If you've got a genuine question, anybody should be able to answer the question to the best of their ability and not take offense to it. And I'd rather people feel open in that they can ask Jewish people questions rather than fear as to what the answer may be, and allow more acceptance in the world of all religions and that of none.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. My sort of feelings on that are that there's a lot of people that I think, because I've got a lot of tech friends on Facebook and stuff, a lot of them are scientific atheists, and they seem to be nervous that if you mention something like religious, you're going to be ramming your religion down their throat. And to me, it's like, no, never.
Yeah.
It's just, this is what we do. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
You're entitled to do what you do.
Exactly.
Ask, feel free to ask any questions you like. Absolutely.
Exactly.
We invited Pete to President's Sunday lunch.
Yeah.
And we told him it was a Catinian do.
Yeah.
But there'd be no Bible readings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lunch at Old Trafford.
Yeah, but we hired the hotel, Hotel Football. And obviously, with it being a Catinian do, we knew that there would... I mean, all there is literally Mass before meal and Mass after meal, a grace before meal and a grace after, and that's it. But, you know, he's very, well, lapsed. He's actually Catholic, but he's very, very lapsed. And his wife isn't Catholic at all. But it was like, well, we'll just tell him that so he feels comfortable. We'll point out that the prayers are on there if you want to say them, but don't feel obliged. Don't even feel you need to make the sign of the cross if you don't want. But this is what we'll be doing. So, you know, people understood. And that worked well, didn't it? To be honest, I mean, it was exactly the same principle in terms of telling people when we booked an event at the Conservative Club and he's raging Labour. And I said, you better mention it's at the Con Club. I said, you know, he might not want to go. So politics are pretty similar as well, aren't they?
Absolutely.
I say just talk about it and get it out there. Never ram it down somebody's throat. Just answer questions.
Exactly.
It was fantastic.
Excellent.
Was so well done, Jonathan.
You need to represent
Judaism.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think you should be on the telly with, what's that rabbi? Was it Rabbi Lionel Blue? He was fabulous. I think he died a while back. But I do remember the chief rabbi because I went to a Jewish wedding in just south of Finchley. All I can remember is Finchley, you know. Because I actually live bang in the centre of Finchley. Just south of Finchley, there's a huge synagogue on the corner, and I went there, and then the chief rabbi came, so I do remember that. Remember that greatly.
Yeah.
Well, Mike's busy putting stuff in now. Well, that was fantastic. So what we need to do is encourage somebody else to come on with their specialist subject, don't we?
Definitely.
Oh, should we nominate somebody, or should we wait
My
for them to volunteer?
Excel.
Well, if you want to do an Excel 101 for complete numpties, Mike, do it. Or take Excel questions.
Excel I don't think questions it... would be good.
There you go, you see. Jonathan's quite happy with that.
There you go. Well volunteered, Mike.
That's Mike sorted out there. No, seriously, people have got... No question is too silly.
Absolutely.
And some people won't know, like, something basic and won't like to ask. There you go.
Indeed.
He's looking a bit concerned now.
No, I'm fine doing that.
If that's your specialist subject, that's your specialist subject. Oh. What would you pick as my specialist subject? He's thinking now. Price of dog food.
Tech.
Tech. Just tech in general.
Tech
in general.
Affinity.
Or Affinity. I don't mind.
The Affinity Suite.
Yeah, right. Okay, the Affinity Suite. So if you have any questions on the Affinity Suite...
Shopping.
It'll be... No, don't. Not shopping. No. No, I know, not since the Asbo, Mike. Not since that nasty episode in Tesco.
Maybe you can tell us about tech in education.
That'd be good. Yeah, be good. Tech in education, that'd be fantastic. Brilliant. Mm. Excellent. Well, that's what we'll do then.
Kim can tell us about implants.
Oh, yes, Kim could give me all... Now I've had them done, I'm all right. But I was at the stage before that. What if I'd have met Kim before that? I would have been ashamed to talk about my teeth. I would, really. But I was very, very... That's actually a good point. I said I would do a talk for one of our local groups about dentists and implants. And I was not fond of the dentist, full stop. And I didn't realise until I thought, well, they'll all be all right. I'd only be saying what I'd had done. They were petrified. They didn't even want to hear a talk about it. All of them were petrified. So let's just say I'm glad I bit the bullet and got it all sorted before I met Kim. There would be no photographs. There is now a photograph and I'm there, beaming smile. Wouldn't have been doing that before. Right, well, that's what we'll do then. So if you have a specialist subject, something that you like, something you want to talk about, something you want to take questions on, let me know and we'll line everybody up for a slot this week, next week, because we've got 3 weeks of lockdown now, haven't we? Mm. You know what I should have done? I missed a trick, Jonathan.
Go on.
I missed a trick on day one of saying it'd be 30 days straight of Mac Bites.
Oh, yeah, you did, really.
I did. Yeah. No one would have believed it, though, to be honest, would they? No. Mike's just...
You half promised another show nearly to be released, I think, yesterday, wasn't it?
I did. Now, we had a plan for that. Right, the plan was we're going to sort that out tonight. But while I've been talking to you guys, I've got WhatsApp open because I'm getting pings on WhatsApp. And I've got iMessage open. I'm getting pings on iMessage. And I have just had a message from the daughter. And she says, are you working? I'd love to have a quick FaceTime. So it's going to be a case of MacBites125 or talking to the daughter.
I think talk to your daughter.
Yeah, we've got to talk to the girl first, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll do that first and then we'll sort out MacBites and then we'll sort out everybody's specialist subjects.
Yeah.
Tech in education would be fantastic. That would be very, very good. And learning management systems, devices, multimedia. Oh, I'm loving that.
Amazing.
One thing we did think of that I wanted to mention. So Jonathan can actually tell me. Everybody else tell me in the chat. We had an idea because we sent out the instructions for joining a Zoom. And you know how simple it is. Here's a link. That's the room number. Just log in. Yeah. About three still went wrong. So we were talking to each other and Mike's got to do something similar for work. How about a mini course in using Zoom? So we went over it last week, but the bits we didn't cover any of the mobile stuff. So who would be up for a mini course in Zoom?
I think that's a great idea because speaking from my grandparents, they use an iPad or a phone. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily go on their laptop. Using an iPad is or mobile device, that's definitely a good idea.
I thought we'd take it from the point of where you get the app, what the thing actually is and what it does, how to access it on a phone, how to access it on an iPad. Mm. I'll have to dig up an Android from somewhere. And then the basic usage and what you can do. I think everybody is hearing the word now because that press conference, the one that Boris didn't bother with tonight, was they called it an e-conference and they use Zoom for it.
We use a program called Ring Central, which is effectively a white labeled version of Zoom. Mm-hmm. I think Zoom technology is probably embedded in a lot more organizations. It's just called something different.
Yeah. Well, we know that it's a popular subject right now because, as Mike's just said to me, laughing, he got a text from his mother this morning, one, to tell him she was still alive, being under house arrest, and two, saying, this Zoom thing. Mike's like, where did she get that from? No idea, I didn't install it.
Yeah.
It's in the Sun, apparently.
It's the Zoom call.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It was, I'll come over there.
I think you should. Don't fall over that Amazon box. It's got treats in it, but no dog food.
That's Friday's unboxing.
Elena, I'm going to have to go, unfortunately.
Right, okay. We shall let you go. Thank you very much. Everybody loved it.
You're most welcome. Thank you once again for all the work that you guys do. And it's great to have joined you this evening.
Excellent. We will see you soon.
All right. Keep take safe. Care, guys.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Right, over to you, Mike. What were you saying?
I don't know. I was talking about Zoom, wasn't I?
Yes, you were talking about Zoom.
I was talking about Zoom.
At work? Was it at work?
No, it wasn't. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, it was something that I saw on the BBC website today about a kid's birthday party that was cancelled. So the actors who were going to do the party, it was one of these entertainers, did it via Zoom.
Neil's just saying that his son had a trumpet teacher who'll do a lesson with him. It's just fantastic. It's amazing.
I know people, I've seen them on Facebook, who offer violin lessons via Zoom.
Right.
So it's suddenly become the thing, hasn't
it? It has. I mean, it's not the longest one. It's actually relatively new.
It's relatively new. It's relatively...
By comparison to WebEx, GoToMeeting.
It's relatively inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really got that corporate stigma, like GoToMeeting.
No, I think the name helps it, doesn't it? A Zoom room.
Yeah.
It doesn't automatically put people off. There's a few gotchas, though, which was what made me think about the mini course, because I logged it. Well, Mike had a problem first. Somebody logged in. They could see him, but he couldn't hear them. Or no, he couldn't hear them, could he? Nor could he speak to them. So Mike didn't have the time to solve one person's problem. So what he did was he held the phone up to the speaker and then the microphone when that guy wanted to talk, and he had his video. But I went into a call today and I knew people were speaking and I couldn't hear a thing. And I'm like, what's wrong with this? It was working yesterday. And I found that what had happened was, deep in the settings, it had configured itself, because my microphone has a headphone socket on the back, it had configured itself to use the microphone as the output device. But since I didn't have a headset plugged into it, I couldn't hear a thing. So, yeah, Zoom's fine as long as it's working. So I thought we could do something on that. But I'm scrolling back and I'm getting that you quite fancy that idea. So I've got Kim to have you talk about teeth. Excellent. A mini course in Zoom. Great. You can learn from other issues. Excellent. Up for anything. Zoom from my gym. That's going to be big, isn't it? That is going to be big. OK, so Stephen says yes. Another thank you for Jonathan. Excellent. Absolutely. So we'll sort out that. We will sort out that. I have to too. Hopefully hear you tomorrow. Daughter's a health worker driving him to and from work. That is so important, Deborah. When you see the pictures, if you can get into Slack, the pictures I've put up, those were taken today. It's chaotic here. It's absolutely chaotic. Right, okay then. Well, we're going to head off, and before we even think of having something to eat, we're going to do a video chat with our girl who's been on the front line all day. So I'm thinking we should call this a mental health visit. She can tell us all about it. It's actually so important, that, isn't it? Because the first time she came round to do that, do you remember?
Yeah, it was after
the Manchester bomb, and she'd been on shift for about 3 days, and she was bog-eyed, and she came in, fell on the sofa into our arms and burst out crying. So we're going to be with you. If you're listening, Rach, we're going to be with you any second now. But that's what we're going to head off and do. We will be here tomorrow, same time, same place. And see how tomorrow goes. If you do want to be the person on the line live tomorrow, let me know in Slack or ping me, and it can be your day. Other than that, I'll put the call out on the night, and we'll find some questions to ask. Ooh, teeth. I've got lots of questions to ask about teeth. Well, Mike's dentist has just shut as well. They won't let him in. Mine's just shut as well today, hasn't it? Because Mike said, it's all right. They've got an emergency dentist on standby, like one dentist. And I said, no. I have to have my dentist. But it's all right, because I've got his iCloud details. Just, if needs must, that's what's going to happen. I cannot have anybody else touch me. I'm not that good with dentists yet. There's only one that I allow anywhere near me. Right, that'd be fantastic. So it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
We're both going to see you next time, which is tomorrow, 7 o'clock.